Well, it's St. Valentine's Day. If that's news to you, then you've got a little bit of time to do something about it if you need to. It's that weekend when people can't get their front doors open because there's a great pile of cards in behind the front door of love that's expressed. I read recently of a lovely story of a young man who expressed his undying love for his girlfriend and wrote at the end of it, "For you I would cross the hottest desert, I would swim the deepest sea, I would climb the highest mountain." And then at the bottom he put, "P.S. I'll see you later on this evening and I'll walk over as long as it's not raining." Sometimes, we don't live up to our declarations of love. May God give us the grace, not just to tell people that we love them, but also to show that, to live that. Because the fact is that there are many, many people around us whose lives are devastated because they never hear the words, "I love you," from the people who should say them. In these difficult times, maybe it's what people need to hear, to be reminded of the love of people for them. The Bible passage which Lorna read for us this morning is of a love that cannot be thwarted, a love that cannot be put down, a love which more than lives up to its declaration. It's one of those Bible stories that we probably all know. We were taught it from Sunday school days, this wonderful story of a man being healed and the roof of the building being hacked open and this man being lowered down in front of Jesus. And we've probably all seen the fuzzy felt pictures of that. We've maybe even made little models of that happening in Sunday school, but it's been one of those stories that we know. Jesus has gone back to Capernaum. And when he's there, crowds are following him. And that's one of the recurring themes throughout Mark's gospel and indeed all of the gospels, these crowds that follow Jesus. And how will Jesus react? How will Jesus respond to them? How do other people respond to the fact that crowds are following Jesus? But in this particular day, amongst that crowd who are pressing in to see Jesus are four friends who carry with them a paralyzed man. These four friends are determined to bring their friend to Jesus. Nothing is going to stop them. Their love for him is so great, their determination to get him to Jesus is so great that nothing gets in their way. And so they arrive to bring him to Jesus, and they find that they just can't get into the house where Jesus is. The crowd's there, the doorways are blocked, there are people standing outside. There is no way these four can carry this man through to bring him to Jesus. Well, maybe they should just rethink. Maybe they should just go home and come back another day when maybe there aren't so many people around. But no, they're not going to be easily put off. They make their way up those steps, which would have been on the outside of very many of those houses, onto the flat roof. A roof which was a layer of clay over branches which were then laid on top of wooden beams. And they get up onto the flat roof and they start to hack it up. Break it up. And they break it up and they lower their friend down through so that he's in front of Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what people would have thought around the place? They looked up, they see all this stuff beginning to fall out of the roof around them, and suddenly this man is lowered down in front of Jesus. There's the crowd. Nothing is going to get in their way. Nothing is going to stop them bringing this man to Jesus. Not the crowds, nor the roof. Nothing. They were experiencing what Paul was later to write, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that day separated this man from the love of God in Jesus. Literally nothing. Not that crowd squeezing him out of the house. Not that thick clay roof, nothing got in the way. They were determined to get this man to Jesus. And it's an example of two wonderful things. It's an example of great love for a friend. Nothing was too much bother. Again, you could imagine that we would have understood if they'd said, look, we'll come back when it's quieter. We'll try again some other day. Maybe we can get in touch with Jesus and he'd come and see you. But no, they are determined. Such is their love for their friend, they will not let it go. It's also an example of great faith in Jesus. Why else would you go to such lengths if you didn't believe that Jesus could make a difference? Why else would you persevere? Why else would you break through that roof and go to the trouble of lowering your friend down through the roof if you didn't think that Jesus could make a difference? This story is an example of great love and great faith. Maybe you're struggling in this lockdown. If you're not struggling, I'm sure you know people who are. Struggling with the isolation, struggling with the anxiety, struggling with the uncertainty, just struggling with life. It's just part of what we're going through at the moment. And yet in the middle of all those struggles, there are these lovely stories of love. Wonderful stories of those little acts of kindness that are being done within our own congregation, across this community, things that make a difference because people do them in love. Those phone calls, those little gifts that are left on the door, those cards, all those things mean so much, and they're all ways of expressing our love for each other, which is so good and so important in these difficult days. It's important that we do these things. But the most important thing is that we bring our loved ones to Jesus. These folks could have just carried their friend to see what was going on, to be part of the excitement, part of the buzz, part of the crowd, but they weren't content to leave it there. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. Those acts of love that we do, that we experience day by day, are there so important, but the most important thing is that we bring our loved ones to Jesus. And this is the Jesus who meets us where we are. He doesn't wait until life is perfect for us. He doesn't wait until we stop feeling isolated and anxious. He doesn't wait, as we say, until all our ducks are in line. Jesus meets us in our need. So these four men carry their friend to Jesus. We don't know what was wrong with them, but we do know that his friends wanted Jesus to meet his need. So along with these acts of kindness, along with this wonderful display of love, they bring his friend to Jesus so that he may meet his needs. We need to do that. Now, we won't be luring people through roofs in front of Jesus, but as we pray, we are bringing our friends, our loved ones to Jesus. We need to be people who do that. We need to be people who pray for each other, but we also need to be people who tell each other that we're praying for them, because it's so encouraging to know that you are prayed for. Sometimes we say, well, all I can do is pray. In a very real way, the most important thing we can do for each other is to pray, is to bring each other to Jesus so that he will meet our needs. So this man is lowered down through the roof. Jesus sees that faith in action and turns to this man and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now that's not what people were expecting. They were expecting Jesus to do something about this man's physical condition, and suddenly he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Certainly his friends wanted him to be able to walk again, wanted him to be able to come out with them and enjoy life with them. The crowd around wanted to see that. The religious people heard Jesus say, "For your sins are forgiven," and they began to think, hold on, only God can do that. Only God forgives sins. And yet Jesus meets us in our need. Because here is our deepest need. The need to be forgiven and to know forgiveness. Yes, we have lots of other needs in our lives, but here's the deepest, the most underlying one, the need to know forgiveness. That's why Jesus came. If you go back a few verses into Mark chapter 1, you will find Jesus saying that he's preaching the good news, because that's why I came. The good news of forgiveness, the good news of salvation. John, when he writes in his letter about love, says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." So on this day, when we hear so much about love, so much which is wonderful about love, how do we really know what love is? We look to Jesus, who laid down his life for us. The hymn writer had it just right when she wrote, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." As we've already sung, our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more. Being forgiven, being brought back into that right relationship with God is the most important thing. It is our very deepest need, and Jesus meets us at our point of need. So will you pray for those around you? Not just that they would know the physical difference that being in connection with Jesus makes in terms of anxiety and isolation and confusion and all the other things we go through, but so that we would know with certainty that because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we have that gift of eternal life in him. So Jesus speaks to this man and says, "Your sins are forgiven." And people start muttering and say, "Well, only God can do that." So Jesus then says, "Well, which is easier? Telling him his sins are forgiven or telling him to get up and to walk?" And Jesus is making the point that, well, neither is easier. They're both impossible to man, but both so easy to God. And to make his point, Jesus then looks at the man and says, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And that's just what he does. Jesus meets him at his deepest need, forgives his sin, lifts him off his bed, and sends him on his way. One of the purposes of the miracles, as you read through the Gospels, one of the purposes of the miracles that Jesus does is to give evidence that Jesus is God. And so those religious leaders were crying, right, hold on, only God can forgive sin. Only God can truly heal. And here's Jesus giving evidence of who he is. Because he is God, he can forgive sin. This is a wonderful story. A story of love and faith. A story of strong friendship. A story of a love that will not let them go. A story of God's love and faithfulness in Jesus. The Jesus in whom we have forgiveness. The Jesus in whom we have eternal life. The Jesus who calls us to come and be part of that story. That story of unfailing love. That story of a love that will not let us go. That story of a love that leads us into the future. Will you be part of that story? Will you open yourself to the love that God has for you in Jesus? Will you experience his forgiveness? And will you be part of his story? Not just for a moment, for a day and a year, but for all eternity.